Welcome back to the Saturday Splash. We're here with Drew Williams and Chris Workman from the South Carolina DNR.
They're agents.
Thank you.
Special agents.
Resource agents.
Yes, and they're awesome. And we're here talking about soil health. We just discussed the rainfall simulator. And Chris, tell us a little bit about something else that you're working with the Grazing Lands Coalition.
We're actually working with the South Carolina Forage and Grazing Lands Coalition, which is a group of folks that have come together from different organizations, different agencies, private individuals, to promote healthy and sustainable grazing lands here in South Carolina. As you know, and Lynn, I see you have liked our page on Facebook. We are actually out there on Facebook under South Carolina Forage and Grazing Lands Coalition. As a matter of fact, going back to the rainfall simulator, there is a nice little demonstration on there of the rainfall simulator that we ran back in the summer. So if you get a chance, go on there, give us a like, check us out, and we'd greatly appreciate it.
Very cool. So what kind of projects do you guys do?
Well, it varies from farm to farm. We're working with growers here across the state, trying to enhance the grazing land opportunities across South Carolina.
Well, let's take a step. What is grazing land for those of us who are not farmers? Let's start at the basics.
Okay. Well, you want a good, healthy pasture out there for your cattle, or for your goats, for whatever.
Any kind of grazing animal you may have.
Whatever type of livestock you're running out here. But in order to have a good, healthy grazing land, it has to be managed properly. You know, you want the right type of forage for your production, for your cattle or what have you. You want good, healthy soil there to promote that. We're actually trying to work with folks to help educate on that route, you know, just to get out and work with them and see what they've got out there and enhance it.
So grazing animals would be like, they would be cows, goats, different animals like that. I mean, we don't have... See, I mean, giraffes, for instance, are grazing animals, but I'm guessing
they're actually browsers, Lynn.
They're browsers.
They eat out of trees.
Oh, of course.
Hence the long neck.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, so we don't have to worry about giraffes.
I've not seen too many herds of those out roaming around across the upstate, but
Have you been to the zoo? It's a very small herd, and it's a very small space they have to roam in, but yet there's roaming herds of giraffe.
That's right.
All over
Greenville.
The zoo. This is why we need our zoo friends back on.
That's right.
Keep us in line.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so other programs that y'all deal with. You had talked about education before. One of the big ones I know is Envirothon. What can you tell us about Envirothon?
Well, the Envirothon is, think of it as an environmental quiz bowl is probably the best way to think about it. It's an opportunity for high school students to come out and go through different stations that we have set up. One of the stations is... Well, we've got forestry, we've got aquatic, we have the soil station.
Public speaking,
which is, that's my favorite.
Identification, I believe, was one of them as well.
Yes.
Yeah, so students will train in these different categories, and then it's basically, yeah, like you said, a big quiz bowl, but for natural resources. That I wish I had that in high school. I was president of my ecology club, but we did not have Envirothon, and I'd have nerded out so hard. Maybe it's a good thing we didn't have it. I'd have lost all my cool friends.
It's a wonderful thing. It really is, and we have, you know, high school students that come there from across the state once a year to compete. And then the winner will go on for the national competition after that.
So it's a national program.
It is.
Oh, okay.
Well, actually, it's an international program.
Wow.
So you'll have folks that, you know, are competing ultimately, you know, worldwide on this.
Yeah, so. That's great. And one part of the Envirothon is the students in each group take a natural resource issue. They're given an issue, they're given a scenario, and they have to then come up with the best way to handle said scenario in their imaginary town that will both benefit the resources, the public, you know, trying to find a good win for everyone. So it's really cool to hear their presentations. I've been lucky enough to be a judge out there. And let me tell you, these high school kids are very smart.
They're sharp.
And they put a lot of work into this as well. I mean, they're training throughout the year, and it does. It just, when you go and you watch them, it definitely shows.
And go ahead and give a shout out to Spartanburg, because Spartanburg schools have won, a team from Spartanburg has won South Carolina Envirothon past many years. So this is also a request to any teacher in Greenville who is interested in participating in Envirothon. There is a training in February for it, and we really would love to put a Greenville team together. A
little friendly competition, Spartanburg.
Yes, Greenville, Spartanburg. So if there's a teacher out there that's willing to put together a team, and how many are on the team, Drew?
I believe it was four. Is it four per team, Chris, or was it five?
That is five students per team.
That's and these are generally speaking high school students, right?
Yes, correct.
And Lynn, multiple teams from Spartanburg have won recently, so it's not just one team from Spartanburg cleaning
house. Oh, right, 2016 Spartanburg High School, 2015 Spartanburg Day School.
Yes, there are multiple teams from Spartanburg.
Good job, Spartanburg.
Yay, but now Greenville, let's get on the ball. Chop, chop, Greenville. But if anybody would like to talk about putting together a team, please contact us through our website, which is SaturdaySplash.com, for those of you who don't know. You can also visit us at GreenvilleSoilAndWater.com, and we will take care of hooking you up. We'll get you down to teacher training in Columbia. It's a one-day training on a Saturday in February, and you don't have to have any special knowledge as a teacher, as a coach. You just need to be interested in putting in getting some kids together and teaching them about science.
Woo, science. Now, you mentioned with you take your kids out in the woods, getting the youth out involved, and you take them out hunting with you. So that's a really good value to instill. So we could talk all day about how important hunting is for conservation, but I'm not a hunter, so I'm just talking. So what is important to you about hunting in the conservation scene?
Well, and especially, you know, bringing the kids back up on this, it's good to get the kids out there to instill in them that pride in the land, you know, just having them out there to see the things that you grew up seeing, to appreciate the wildlife, to appreciate the land for what it is. To me, that's really where it's at. It's getting that next generation brought up with that appreciation.
Yeah, like Chris was saying, it's not so much the actual act of hunting when you're out there with a child. It's more of the time spent, the memories made, and that time and those memories are what forms that connection with the land itself. So I think it's very important to get the kids out there and spend a little bit of time with them.
Yeah, I think we're pretty lucky here. We're such a rural state, and really the whole Southeast region is very rural. So I think that, you know, growing up, we play outside, we jump in streams, we go hunting with our parents. And I think in the Southeast, we really grow up with an appreciation for our natural resources and a connection to the land.
Yeah, I remember as a kid, I mean, Southeast, even in Florida, we were able to go out and we swam in the lakes. I was always a little sketchy about swimming in the lakes in Florida, though, because you know why? Alligators. I don't know. It always freaked me out. I was sure that there was going to be an alligator in one of the lakes. And
well, in Florida, you could go either way. It might be a crocodile, too.
Oh.
You don't know. At least up here, you know it's going to be an alligator.
Well, here's
or
the
snakes.
Thing. You know,
or snakes.
Or a rock python, invasive species.
Right.
Oh, yes.
Shh. You're scaring me. It's early.
That's another thing that the Department of Natural Resources does, though, when we're talking education, is that they are there's a whole section of the DNR that deals with animals and reptiles and all of that. I know when we're talking snakes and alligators and everything, we work with Patricia Whitener at 4-H, and she borrows animals from the DNR all the time to do school programs. And so she'll come over to our office and she'll say, hey, I need some snake wranglers today to go to school. Can you help me? But that's a great service that the Department of Natural Resources provides, is they actually have these animals and the children can learn about them in the school, and they get to pet a little baby alligator, which is totally cool.
Yeah, it's just a small one, not necessarily a baby. Just,
well, okay, yes,
just small.
Yes, it's baby
slightly
to
terrifying
me in size. Yeah, they're little. I mean,
I like the snakes better than the alligators.
Yeah,
they're very friendly with the snakes.
My favorite red rat snake, or she's a rat snake, right?
She's a corn snake.
Oh, a Cornelia.
Snake. Cornelia,
yeah.
the corn snake.
Yes, and she's awesome. But it is a value that the Department of Natural Resources provides to the students here in Greenville County and all over the state.
I think that's really good. So would you guys agree or disagree with the statement, the only good snake is a dead snake?
Agree.
Disagree.
That good. That was a trick question. There's only one answer. Definitely disagree. Definitely disagree.
I had to put you on the spot there.
They poor snakes. They get a bad reputation. But with, you know, snakes eat other snakes. If you don't like snakes, then you should be pro snake because the king snake will eat other snakes.
And I'll tell you a little story. I brought my she's now 4.5 years old. My 4.5 year old daughter over to the office, and Clemson Extension is right across the hall from us, and that's where they keep the corn snake. And she came. She was probably 2.5. It's probably 2 years ago. And still to this day, she retells the story of going over to the Clemson Extension to see the snake, and that's all she wants to do when she comes and sees me at work.
Yes, it's a learned fear. So yeah. it's also they're easy to love. They're cute. They're not slimy. Just so you know, snakes are not slimy.
Well, those animals that they show to the kids, it definitely leaves an impression.
It does. It does. We love it. Well, and you guys too have left an impression on us. Thank you, Chris and Drew, for joining us here The Saturday Splash on 94.5 WGTK The Answer. We'll be right back. I was so hard to please. Look around, he's a brat.